Hey everyone, welcome to Connect the Dots. I'm Jeremiah Garcia, your host from Guide Dogs of Hawaii. This is a safe space for blind and visually impaired individuals to come together, share experiences, and learn from each other. Today, our guest is a former store owner. She was born in Texas, but has lived in Hawaii since 2008. She worked for Aloha Independent Living and then opened up her own mini mart afterward. She also volunteered with a lot of public speaking and teaching people how to use accessibility features on their iPhone. I want to welcome Gina Garcia to Connect the Dots and start off by asking, what did you have to do in order to be in a position to open your mini mart?
My previous experience before I became technically legally blind was in customer service and culinary. So I actually didn't know about the program until my DVR counselor saw my resume and she's like, you know, I think it'd be perfect for this. Instead of training you just do something new as a blind person vocationally with your experience, why don't we just go for the mini mart? And so because she recommended it and it was according to the experience I already had, I just had to learn how to do it as a blind person. I was like, okay, it won't take as much time. I still have a family to provide for. So that's what encouraged me to get on the path in the first place.
I see. Did you need any schooling or training in order to open the mini mart?
Well, according to how the program for the state is set up, I had to go, I first had to put my name on the waiting list to say that I was even interested in it. And then after my name came up, the state has a 6-month program that you have to go through and a test after that. And if you pass that test and you accomplish their criteria, then your name gets put on the waiting list for a store to open up. So I did have to go through a 6-month state training. And while I was doing that, I had to apply with Habit School for the Blind online to learn how to use Excel spreadsheets and Office spreadsheets as a blind person, learning how to use JAWS. So that was intense, but it was worth it.
You mentioned you had a DVR counselor. Could you tell me a bit about them and how they assisted you?
DVR, which is a Division of Vocational Rehabilitation for the state of Hawaii, they're the ones that allowed me to go through the training, the state training. I was at the time living on the Big Island, so I had to travel because I have a family. I couldn't just stay 6 months on Oahu. So I had to travel back and forth every week. And so the DVR program helped me do that. And they covered any technology that I needed to move forward in the career. So I did get a lot of financial help from DVR.
Did you go anywhere for O&M training to learn how to operate as a blind person?
Yes. Yeah, so before I even started thinking about the mini mart, I had to first become confident as a blind person. So even before the mini mart was on my radar, I had gone through the blind training at Ho'opono, and they had this new curriculum that lasted anywhere from 9 to 12 months that would totally submerge you into this blind world so that you can learn how to operate as a total blind instead of like a visually impaired person. But because, again, I had a family and I didn't live, the programs on Oahu, I was on the Big Island. I only did 7 months worth of that training. I basically got the basics and the foundation of confidence. And then I came back to my family and I just had to figure out on my own what worked for me. So through that program, I got mobility training, I got technology training, I got home ec, like cooking and, you know, simple, not simple, but independent living skills that helped me move forward in life.
You mentioned you did your O&M training before the mini mart was on your radar. So did you work any jobs before you opened your mini mart?
Yeah, so I did actually a lot of volunteering. I had a service animal, and through the process of getting my service animal through Guide Dogs for the Blind in Oregon, I used to volunteer at my children's school, their charter school at the time. And in that process, I met some people while volunteering, and I was offered a job to work at a nonprofit organization that helped all people with disabilities. So I actually started working there as a blind person before I opened up my mini mart. So it gave me a chance to make connections with people. I also did a lot of public speaking at the time. As a blind person, like becoming blind, because on the Big Island, there wasn't a lot of awareness like there was on Oahu. So it was very intriguing, an intriguing experience. And so I did enjoy working at this nonprofit organization.
I heard you mention something about your guide dog. Could you tell me a bit about your experience with getting a guide dog and being a guide dog handler?
So I went through a program that's based in California and Oregon. They're called Guide Dogs for the Blind. And there is actually a process that you have to go through. So the very first step is you have to have doctor's paperwork stating that you are legally blind or blind, you know, the large spectrum of it. And there's this application you have to fill out. So I did that, and once the application was approved, because they have a lot of questions, they actually came down from California and they wanted to test my mobility. So you actually have to have mobility training. So you have to be certified with a licensed O&M trainer. So thankfully, because I had already gone to Ho'oponopono and I went through the program, I already had that in set. So they came. And with my cane, they wanted to test how good my mobility was. So after I passed that test, they had a board of 10 people who reviewed the house visit, reviewed my doctors, and reviewed my training. And they decided that I did qualify for one of their service animals. So once they put me on the list, it took a few months. And I went to, I had a choice to either go to California or to Oregon, and I chose to go to Oregon because I had never been there before, and it used to be a 1 month program, but they shortened it down to 2 weeks so that they could start helping more people. And I went in January, and I wasn't used to the cold. Oh my gosh, we landed, it was 17 degrees, so it was a whole new experience. But during that time, they had four dogs prepared for me since I was coming out of state. And the first one they chose for me, we actually connected. And I didn't think I would be connected to a dog in that way. But once our hearts connected and we started working together as a team, you know, she made a huge impact in my life. I always call the cane is like the Red Sea that splits, everybody gets out of your way. But when I had her, it's like everybody came to me. So it made life more enjoyable that way.
You left the workforce for a bit to get the training you needed to operate as a blind person, but didn't have experience actually working as a blind person yet. Do you remember anything from your first days on the job?
I was very anxious because as a sighted person, I'm an observer and I pick up on a lot of visual things. But now coming in as a blind person and also getting paid to do the job that I'm doing, I put pressure on myself because I wanted to excel. I wanted to be independent, and I didn't want help from people to do a job that I'm getting paid to do. So I gotta say, I put more pressure on myself than I needed to, because my coworkers were amazing. And it was a nonprofit program where they helped all people from all walks of life. So it was a good break-in for me. And it was my first time working in that kind of office environment setting. And so I have good memories. It was a good experience.
Did you ever find it difficult to communicate with people who aren't blind?
No, I didn't. With my personality type, because I was in customer service for so long, and moving around a lot, and the places where I worked were a lot of tourist attractions. So I met people from all over the world. It wasn't hard for me to communicate. I did have to learn to be more specific and more direct. But once I learned how to do that, then my communication as a blind person and me being comfortable being blind made other people around me comfortable with it. So I have a good experience with it.
Did the experience you gained from these jobs help you when you decided to open a mini mart?
Yeah, totally. Because there was already a buzz out there about me and my service animal. So we had a lot of customers that came in just out of curiosity. And then once they saw what we were doing and the food that we were selling, they just became very, like a community came to support something that they didn't think they would experience. And Leanna, which was my service animal, there was another service animal that was in one of the buildings that wasn't for the blind, but was for a different reason. And she made a friend. So it was a really nice experience to just come together as a community and support each other.
Do you remember what kind of access technology was available when you started working?
So technology totally changed. It's always changing. So when I first started learning about technology, when I went to Ho'oponopono School for the Blind, I was in JAWS and I was in at Samsung. But after I got some training and I learned about the iPhone and Apple, they actually became a lot more accessible. Like their upgrades became very accessible for the blind. So I ended up switching and having to teach myself how to use the iPhone as a blind person. And I actually, that was one of the duties I had working for a nonprofit, was helping other blind people learn how to use accessibilities. So technology definitely changed when I got the mini mart, because I didn't want to use the regular talking register. For one, I was very adamant about being accessible with credit cards and smartphones. So I had to do a lot of research and I had to do a lot of training on my own to figure out what would work. I ended up going with like a square register that attached itself to an iPad. And I ended up going that route. And I ended up having to call the company, iPhone actually, Apple customer service, and we worked together to get it accessible for the blind. So I have to say it was the first, I haven't heard of anybody in their store at the time that used it. I don't know if there's anybody now, but it made tracking inventory and using credit cards a lot easier. So I didn't go the norm with the talking register. I went with a square and an iPad.
What are some things that you'd consider benefits of owning a mini mart?
The benefits, I would say financially, of course, but also like you get to choose what kind of life you want to, like lifestyle you want to have, and the support and people you surround yourself to accomplish it. It would be wise to have support, because there's a lot of back business, like the paperwork in the background that has to get done. So the benefits are the people you encounter, the customers that become friends, the lifestyle that you get to choose to live, and the freedom. The financial thing is, it's up to you. It's how much your store makes. There's very, very successful people that do it. So I would say the main benefit are the connections that you make.
What do you think is the most important thing about being a store owner?
Most important. Being flexible, being able to change with the times, whether it's technology, whether it's products, whether it's customers, being able to handle change well, I would say would be the best thing.
Looking back on everything that's happened since you opened your mini mart, what was your favorite part and what was most challenging?
My favorite part was meeting vendors that would bring new products to me. And I always love to learn new things. So I did enjoy very much reaching out to different companies, trying different products, and the vendors coming and seeing the mini mart and seeing something different and just establishing that kind of connection. I did enjoy that. The most challenging part for me was, I would have to say, the back business. because it's a program through the state, they have their own worksheets and they have their own way of tracking things. And we have to submit that paperwork every 3 months, every 6 months, especially if you're on probation. Once you pass your probation, then it's every 6 months. But for me personally, because everything, for me to try to do everything on my own, which is run the store, find vendors, cook, clean, buy the inventory, and then the back business on top of that, for me personally, because I wasn't in a position where I could hire people yet, I was still starting out my store. For me personally, the back business was the hardest part.
You mentioned reaching out to vendors and establishing a connection with them. Could you tell us a bit about your experience finding vendors and how important they are to your business?
Well, first I had to decide what kind of products I wanted to have in my store. And once I made that decision, I started making phone calls and reaching out to vendors like Pepsi or Coke. I had to decide what kind of coffee I wanted to do, was whether it was going to be Hawaiian Isles or if I was just going to do a regular coffee pot. Then I have, because I wanted to sell food, I also had to think about what I'm licensed to sell. And then I had to reach out from vendors from that point. And so vendors are actually very important. You want to have a good relationship with them. But I guess the most important part is deciding what kind of things you want to sell. And once you make that decision, then you reach out to the vendors. Good communication will always attract good vendors. So it's, I think it's important to always keep your eyes open and your ears open to new things.
How did you figure out what to sell in order to start getting customers?
Location is, you know, in any business that you're doing, having a good reputation is good, but also location. So with the store that I was given, I didn't get to, once the store opens up, you choose whether you want that location or whether you're gonna pass and stay on the waiting list. So the location that I got, it was kind of tucked in the back. So it wasn't somewhere where people would just walk by and know it's there. So when I decided what I wanted to sell, I had to decide, how am I gonna attract people? What food can I make that would smell good to attract people and figure out, hey, what's going on over there? So when I made my decisions on what vendors to look for, it was because of the location that I was in. I was kind of in the back. Not a lot of people knew about our location. So I decided to start reaching out to vendors that have strong fragrances, whether it was in food or coffee. And that's how I got my traffic through.
If you were talking to someone with a visual impairment who wanted to have the same job as you, what advice would you give them?
Be comfortable with yourself first. Know your strengths and know your weaknesses. And then build a team around you that supports that and that you guys can work together. Recognize, like, if you're not somebody who likes to talk a lot and you're more reserved and quiet, that's fine. Just, okay, well, what is your strength? And focus on that strength to go forward in the mini mart, because it is a business at the end of the day. You do want to you want to be there for your community and make connections, but you also want to make money. And so building the right team or having the right people with the right advice around you, I think is very crucial moving forward in that direction.
This has been a good conversation, and I'd like to close with a light question. In three words, can you describe yourself as a kid and as the adult you are today?
As a kid, I was curious, insecure, and shy. But as an adult now, I would say I'm more direct in my communication because I understand myself, I have more confidence in myself, and I'm shy in certain areas, but I'm a lot more outgoing than I was before because of me knowing more about myself and who I am. I've had a lot of growth, especially in the visual impairment. When I was younger, it wasn't okay to be different. So I had to work really hard to blend. And I didn't know why I couldn't see or learn certain things because, you know, they didn't tell me. But as an adult and looking back and learning a lot of things, it gave me more confidence that, you know, I did, working hard towards something pays off. So I would say I'm more confident.
As we draw to a close with this episode, I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed your visit and found useful information. We welcome your feedback at feedback@guidedogsofhawaii.org. It would be great if you'd visit us on our social media platforms, such as Instagram and Facebook. You can find us by simply searching for Guide Dogs of Hawaii.